Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus. Well, there was Jesus.
Good morning. It's good to see that you've come out to the house of the Lord today as we come together to worship and celebrate here at the Boonesville Church of the Brethren. We want to welcome all of you that are here. And so it's good to be able to look out over the congregation and see faces. Delighted for that, and pray that God will continue to bless us as we continue in our time of worship. Again, I want to say it's good that you're here, and we want to welcome you. Times what we're going through, that we're all alone. We think the problems we struggle with, the difficulties that we have, the hurt, the pain, that we're all alone. But you're not. Now, you may not know it. You may not recognize it. You may not know where God is in your life, but God is there. He always was. He always is. And God is walking with you, even if you don't see it. Well, how much do you matter to God? That's the message today. You know, because of the devastating impact of the pandemic for the past year and a half, people in our world are asking deeper questions about life and about death, wondering what security and what hope can you hold on to? What security can we have? And many have simply been reevaluating the meaning of their life and of living. Now, you here in this room, and those of you who might be hearing my voice, we are witnesses to climate change, global warming, extreme drought in the West, flooding in the East, warnings of shortages of food supplies, increases in earthquakes, and the eruptions of volcanoes. And unthinkable before this past year, it seems, we are shocked by weekly senseless mass shootings in stores and businesses. And because of this, and much more than what I've just mentioned, we are left in fear and anxiety and uncertain as what is happening to our world. What is going on? What's taking place? And to make everything even more confusing, the scams and the cyber attacks stealing our identity, and the hackers taking control of our electronic devices and businesses, and the conspiracy theories and lies and direct denial of the truth from even our governmental leaders, that's made it all but impossible to know what is real and what is false and what and who can we trust. I don't know about you, but does all this leave you with questions about what's happening in the world? Questions about life? Questions about your life? Where is God in all of this? Where's the peace and the comfort and the assurance that we're supposed to have? Does it matter what is happening in the world? Should we just don't pay any attention? More importantly, maybe we should ask, do you matter? And more important than that, most important of all, do you matter to God? If you want to know the answer to those types of questions, I want you to hang on just for a few minutes, because that is what I'm praying that this message is going to attempt to do is to give answers. One of the greatest needs we have in life is to feel valuable, that our life matters, that we're worthwhile, that we have significance and value in our lives. And because of this, we're constantly looking around, and in our mind, we're comparing ourselves and evaluating ourselves to other people, comparing ourselves to them. In our society, we tend to base our self-worth on four things. First, we judge our worth by our appearance. How do I look? And if I look good, then I surmise that I must be okay. And then we judge our worth by our achievement. What have I accomplished? How successful am I? And then we judge our worth on approval. How well am I liked? If a lot of people like me, then I must be okay. And then we judge our worth on our affluence. What do I own? How much are my assets worth? Now, the problem with these four standards is that none of them are stable. They all change, and they change all the time. Beauty fades, and abilities deteriorate, and acquaintances are forgotten, and estates erode away. And none of these things on which we normally judge ourselves are good judges of our self-worth, because our successes are surpassed by other people. They do better than we do. Our records are broken and they no longer stand and are recognized. Our beauty fades and we try to take all kinds of ways to cover it up to make us look different again. And our possessions wear out. So if you build your self-worth on those things, what are you going to feel about yourself when you're old and ugly and broke? Not a pretty picture, is it? Then you're not going to think very much of yourself when you get to that point in your life. And if you want to build your worth on something that lasts, you've got to build it on something that can't change. And there's only one thing that won't change. And that's what God thinks about you. This past year has caused much to be questioned about life. Do you know, at times, when all that we have put our faith in, when it comes tumbling down, then we began to search for what really matters. And it is often only when we have everything we thought was important removed from us that then we can see the real truth of what really is important, what really does matter. And the truth is, the only thing that matters is knowing God. We often see our greatest changes happening in us when God changes the way we see ourselves. A wonderful example of that principle is the man in the Bible named Zacchaeus. One day, Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus. And that meeting changed his life forever. And I've dedicated my life to understanding what was it that Zacchaeus encountered with Jesus that changed his life. We see that in Luke 19, Jesus came through town in Jericho. He couldn't see Jesus, but he wanted to. He was a person that was a tax collector, which is a bad name, first of all, but he was wealthy. Because of that, because he was a tax collector, because he couldn't see Jesus, he was short, he climbed up in a tree, and Jesus came along that way. Now, In that story, it doesn't seem like that Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus. All he wanted to do was see him. He'd heard stories about Jesus. Jesus healed people. Jesus was casting out demons in people's lives. Jesus was changing people. And so it seemed like that all he wanted to do was to see what was it about this man called Jesus that was doing all of these things he had been hearing about, everybody was talking about. But if ever there was a man who needed to meet Jesus, it was this guy, Zacchaeus. Because in the four ways we evaluate our worth, Zacchaeus had struck out on the first three. Oh, he was wealthy by being a dishonest person, but he wasn't much else. In the first place, Zacchaeus didn't like his appearance. He didn't like what he looked like. The Bible tells us that he was short. Now, I know what it's like to be short. And in fact, however, Zacchaeus was shorter than anybody else. And he was probably, because of that, which I have been too, ridiculed. And he was probably teased all of his life about how he looked. And he had probably lived not liking the way he looked and what people thought of him. Not only that, but this guy was hated by everyone in the city. It says that he was the chief tax collector. Do you like tax collectors? I don't. And well, you know, we know tax collectors are never popular, but in Roman days it was even worse because the Roman system of collecting taxes was absolutely corrupt. Because what they did, if you were a tax collector, you could collect and keep as much taxes as you wanted to, as long as you paid what Rome was expecting you to get from each person. So you could extort taxes from them, give to the Roman government, but then you could extort and keep whatever else you could get from people. So people hated tax collectors in that day. And so Zacchaeus became a wealthy man by ripping off other people. And he was hated by everybody. Now, what we have here is a guy who has a lot of money, but he doesn't like himself, a man who is lonely, a man who is miserable because he's despised and people don't want to be around him. But this day, when Jesus came, everything changed. This encounter with Jesus turned his world upside down, and he was never the same again. Why? He discovered that he mattered. He mattered to God. He discovered how much Jesus loved him and what kind of person he could be. When you encounter Jesus' love, you will never be the same. And if you came here today feeling a little low, a little confused, maybe lonely, maybe you've came feeling unloved, or you just came here a little out of sorts, if that's the way you felt, you came to the right place, because there is good news for you today. This is where your life can change. How do we know that we can change? How do we know that when everything's going wrong in our life and when we feel so bad about ourselves, how do we know that in that way things can change? Because we matter to God. And God is able to change things that we can't. And how? This is what happens with Zacchaeus. How do we know that we matter to God? Well, the story about Zacchaeus gives us three fundamental truths on which you should base how you feel about yourself. And the first thing is that no matter how insignificant you feel, Jesus notices you. No matter how low, no matter how lonely, No matter how little you might feel, even if nobody else notices you, Jesus does. Jesus walked past thousands of people in that crowd on that day in Jericho, and when he walks up to that tree that Zacchaeus is in, he stops. Now, why did he do that? Well, notice in Luke verse 5 of 19th chapter, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up. Why did he do that? Because Jesus knew that Zacchaeus needed something. And when Jesus knows that someone needs something, he stops and looks at them in a very intense way for a very intense purpose. Here's the point. God knows when you need something. And if you're here this morning and you need God and you need change in your life and you need something, God knows that. God knows exactly where you are today. God knows exactly what you need. You may think God is 1,000 miles away, but he's not. He's got his eyes upon you. There's never been a moment when God didn't see you. There's never been a place, even if you didn't recognize it, God was watching you. There's never been a time that he's not watching you. Every moment of every day, God has his eye on you. You may think that your life doesn't matter. You may think your problems are something that you don't know how to get fixed or corrected. But God says, oh yes, you matter, and I know how to fix it. Whenever he's seen you hurt, he's seen every hurt that you've ever felt. He's seen every sadness that you've ever felt. Every tear that you've ever cried. He knows it all because he cares about you. And because he cares about you, you matter. The deepest expression of love is attention. When you give somebody your attention, you're giving them your love. That's why the pandemic has been so hard. We've been so isolated, and we've had no ability to engage with each other. We've had no attention from others, and it has created a lot of mental anguish and problems that we're facing even now. When you don't pay attention to your husband or your wife or your kids, you're being unloving. And because God loves you with such a great love, he's never taken his eyes off of you. Now, you may have taken your eyes off of him, and you may have not seen him, but he's never not seen you. You know, when we were children, we would ride around on our bikes or tricycles, and we would do something cute, and we'd say, watch me, Daddy. Watch me, Mommy. Watch me. You remember those days? All of us have a deep need to be noticed. We have a need to be recognized, to feel valuable and worth. We have a need to be noticed. And so we say, watch me, Daddy. Watch me, Mommy. Adults do this all the time. You think you just did it when you were children? Oh, no. Adults are constantly saying, watch me, watch me. Now, we don't say it that blatantly. We do it by the kind of clothes we wear. And we do it by the kinds of cars we drive. Watch me, we say. By the way we fix up our houses and the way we style our hair, we say, watch me. Notice me. While I was at the Franklin County High School graduation this past week, I noticed how many young people wore tattoos and bright colored hair and provocative clothing. And as I looked out over that crowd, I realized what they were saying was, look at me. Watch me. Tell me that I'm important. Tell me that I matter. Tell me that there's meaning and purpose for me to be alive. Watch me. We have a deep need to be noticed. And God does notice. That's the thing we don't understand sometimes. God sees us. God is looking upon you right now with those loving eyes. God is watching over you with great interest. And He knows when you need something. And that's why He's looking at you. Because He has the answer. Well, the first thing, we need to be noticed. But here's the second thing. No matter what other people say about you, Jesus loves you. All of his life, Zacchaeus had been ridiculed. He had been rejected. First, he was rejected because of his appearance. Second, he was rejected because of his actions. He was dishonest. But look at what Jesus does. Jesus not only stopped at the tree and looked up and noticed him because he knew that Zacchaeus needed something, but it says that Jesus called him by his name. Here in the thousands of people and crowd, and Zacchaeus had never met him before, and here Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, call him by name. Imagine that. God not only knows what you're going through and what you need, God cares about you as an individual personally. He's got your name, and He's calling out your name. I don't know if you hear Him calling you, but He knows you. Before you were born, God made you for a reason and a purpose. God had a plan for your life. And God had planned and lined up what He wanted you to do with your life. But most people, they never do what God plans for their life. Because you have to choose God. And you have to choose His plan. But most people, they get distracted. They hear a lot of other things that says, this is going to make you happy. This is going to give you what you want in life. This is going to make life meaningful. And so you get distracted. And eventually, if you listen enough to that, you get sidetracked. And you no longer can hear God. You're so far away from that. And you're so far away from being able to hear what it is God's calling for you to do. I heard it said one time, God has your picture in His wallet. That's how much God loves you. God doesn't have your picture in His wallet. The Bible says and tells us in Isaiah 49:16, it says this, God said, I have engraved on the palm of my hands your name. When Jesus Christ looks at the scars in His hands where He was nailed to the cross, when He looks at those scars, what do you think He sees? He's thinking of you. You, because He took those nails and He died on the cross for you. And God says, I don't carry your picture in my wallet. But this is how much I love you. I love you this much. And what God is saying is, I did this so that you can have a different kind of life. I did this so that you could have the life that you need. I did this so that I could change your life if you need it changed now because you weren't following me in the beginning. Jesus said, I love you this much. I took the penalty for your sin. I took the penalty for your life. That's how much you matter to me. And that's how much I love you. No matter how insignificant you may feel, Jesus notices you. He's always got His eyes on you. No matter what other people say about you, Jesus loves you. He's got your name on His hands. And here's the third thing. No matter what we've done, Jesus wants you. And that is the biggest mind blower of all, is no matter what you've done, God would want us and would want a relationship with us. Zacchaeus' appearance made him feel lonely and insecure. And Zacchaeus' accusers made him feel bitter and resentful. But actually, it was Zacchaeus' sins, his own lifestyle, his own choices that made him feel guilty and ashamed, made him feel without self-worth. In other words, the way you live often can tell you, yeah, you know that you're not something that should be loved because of the way you act and what you do. And that's what Zacchaeus was feeling. So Jesus Christ did something even more shocking. He didn't just walk up to the tree and look up and see Zacchaeus and know that he needed something. He didn't just call him by name and affirm him in front of everybody else who hated him, but he invited Zacchaeus to come down to him. And this is amazing. He said, "Come down, for I'm going to your home today." Why did Jesus invite him down? Why did Jesus walk all the way through town to the biggest scoundrel in town and say, "Let's hang out together. Let's spend some time together." The reaction of the crowd was swift and it was brutal. It said all the people saw this and they began complaining, "Jesus, you're going to the home of a sinner? You're going to hang out with a person like that?" You know, Zacchaeus, he had a lot of hidden guilt, like probably many of us do. And he's thinking, "I'm not good enough to be with Jesus. You don't know the things, Jesus, that I've done." But that's not true, because Jesus did know what he had done. And like many of us, we feel that way. Sometimes even when we come to church, we say, "You know, I'm not good enough for God to love me that way and to bless me and to do things for me." But you're wrong. Because God's love is not based on your goodness. It's not how good you are. God doesn't love you because you're good. It's based on God's incredible love in spite of the fact of what you've done. God loves you in spite of that. And God wants you, no matter what you've done. The truth is, you've done a lot of things that you should feel ashamed of. I have. But Jesus is far more interested in changing you than he is in condemning you. So he looks at you today and he says, "I know you. I know what you've done. And in spite of all that you've done, because I love you, I want you to know me. And I want you to love me. And I want you to have a relationship with me." And when you stand before Jesus, no matter what you've done, you'll find that Jesus says, "Oh, I love you," and still wants you. That's called grace. Grace is when God gives you what you need and not what you deserve. How should we respond to a God like that, that is speaking to us today about how much he loves us and what he wants to do in our life? How should we respond? We should do it the same way Zacchaeus did. The Bible says, "So he came down at once and received him with joy." And that picture that I had for for the message today, it kind of depicts that. Zacchaeus experienced Jesus' love. And he was changed instantly and forever because of the love of Jesus. And with a God who loves you that much, is waiting with open arms. And so would you give me one reason why you wouldn't come and put your arms around Jesus? Why you wouldn't come and receive what Christ wants to do in your life today? There is no reason that you shouldn't. We find in verses 8 and 9, Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, "I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I'll give them back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him and looked at him and said, "Salvation has come to this house today." The moment he said he would give, he was changed. I give my possessions. I give my heart. I give my life. And something extraordinary had happened in the life, because the most selfish man in the city all of a sudden became the most generous man in the city. The most hated man in the city became the most loved man in the city. And what happened? He experienced how much he mattered to God. He experienced how much he was loved by God. Zacchaeus' life was messed up. He wanted something different. He couldn't make himself different, but Jesus could. Jesus came to save those who couldn't save themselves. Jesus came to change people who couldn't change themselves. But Zacchaeus realized that Jesus was what he needed. Zacchaeus asked for forgiveness, and he was forgiven. He experienced how much he mattered to God. He was overwhelmed by Jesus' love. Love changed him. Zacchaeus' heart and life was forever changed. And so I asked you, brothers and sisters, Jesus would say, come out of your high places. Come out of your hiding. Come down and let me love you and change you and give you a new life. That's what God wants to do. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I know you made me for a reason, and I want to come to you now. Thank you for noticing every detail of my life. I can't imagine that kind of love, that you've always been watching every second of my life with love. Thank you for loving me in spite of my sin. Thank you for wanting me in spite of all that I've done. Today I come down from my hiding and surrender to your love. I invite you into my life with joy. Please make changes in me that turn me from a taker into a giver and into all the things that you want me to be and that I've always wanted to be myself. Thank you that I matter this much to you. I come now to give myself to you. And in your name I pray. Amen.
I've been thinking about time and where does it go? How can I stop my life from passing me by? I don't know. I've been thinking about family, now it's going so fast. Will I wake up one morning just wishing that I could go back? I've been thinking about lately, maybe I can make a change and let it change me. So with all of my heart, this is my prayer. Singing, oh Lord, keep me in the moment. Help me live with my eyes wide open. Cause I don't wanna miss what you have for me. Everything's placed in your hands. Singing, oh!